Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope that you and your family and your friends are all doing well. Hope everyone is staying healthy out there. We are happy to have you here with us today on this last day of September. Yes, it is now fall. And yes, kids, the season of autumn did begin last week. Summer is officially over. And it is now officially that time of year where, at least here in the United States, the leaves are falling off the trees. We are raking them into piles pretty much to hide our neighbors' political signs. Hey, you know, personally, I love fall. Falls in the state of Colorado where I'm at are absolutely amazing. I love that the days are still warm. If you're out in the sunshine, it's still nice and warm, but you're starting to find that the evenings, early mornings, they're starting to get a lot cooler. Here in Colorado, we're dropping down in the 40s overnight. I love that stuff. I love the crisp, cool nights. I love that we have football going right now. We have white girls putting pumpkin spice in pretty much everything possible. Meanwhile, the rest of us are like popping pumpkin spice Xanax this year. Hey, tomorrow is October 1st, which is kind of crazy to think about because Halloween will be here soon. That's not going to be very long at all. Are kids going to get to go trick-or-treating this year? I've heard that they're talking about trying to ban trick-or-treating here in the States, which is actually kind of weird this year. Because, I mean, just say, for instance, say it was our tradition on Halloween that we had just huge parties, like, I don't know, New Year's or something like that. And everyone just got together and we drank and we ate and we all hung out together. Say that was our typical tradition. But this year, during, you know, this whole global pandemic and everything, they would probably say something like, okay, I know what your usual tradition is. I realize that usually on Halloween, you get together, you have the big parties, everyone's dancing, there's music, it's a big celebration. I understand that. Hear me out on this. I know it's going to be a little bit weird, but in light of the global pandemic going, what if, and again, just hear me out on this, just for this year, we don't do the parties. What if we don't all get together like that? What if, I don't know, maybe you put a mask on, maybe you even put some gloves on, and if you just go door to door to people's houses, they'll drop sealed, pre-wrapped candy into a bag that you could hold out. No touching, no interaction, no breathing on each other whatsoever. And I mean, if we heard that right now, we'd be like, that sounds weird. I want to just have a party. I want it to just feel like Halloween. But I guess if that's what we have to do this year, 2020 is kind of weird as it is, I guess we'll just make it work. Here's the weird thing. Our politicians are saying no to the wearing masks and going door to door and not touching. That is weird to me. I mean, this holiday of Halloween is actually made for this pandemic. You can't get people in this country to wear masks to like Walmart. Oh, but they'll wear them for Halloween. No problem. No one cares about that. We'll be glad to put them on for Halloween. That would be perfect this year. And our politicians here in the US of A are like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that this year. I know that's what you usually do. I'm not sure that's going to work this year. All the masks and the gloves and the no touching, I don't know if that's going to work this year. Folks, that is where we are in this country right now. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, I don't know, maybe tell us your favorite season of the year. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you just want to talk some sports and you can't go to the bar like you usually would, or you can't stay after midnight like you'd like to. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Maybe you got some feedback for the show. Maybe you've got a question for us. Maybe you need a little advice. Feel free to reach out to us. And also be sure to stop by dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can check out our website over there. If you're not sure where to get the podcast, or maybe where to watch the videos, or maybe where to buy Daily Dose gear, you can just go to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, and you can find everything that you will need over there. Plus, you'll even find a little bit of information about the host of the Daily Dose. Might find some things over there that you didn't know were there. Remember, we do now place a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. Thank you to everyone that's going over there subscribing. Be sure that you go over to YouTube and find the Daily Dose channel that we do have over there. Hey, and as long as you're doing so much online shopping, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up Daily Dose gear. They're doing a ton of sales over at tpublic.com. But if you need a hoodie because it is fall now and you need something warmer, we've got Daily Dose hoodies over there. They've got the Daily Dose logo on them, but you can pick them in whatever color you want. We've got t-shirts, we've got sweatshirts, we've even got Daily Dose social distancing masks. We've got a number of items over at tpublic.com. Make sure that you stop by over there. Hey, today on the show, we've actually got something a little bit different for you today. The Major League Baseball playoffs got started last night. And hey, this year, in 2020, like everything else, they are a little bit different. We're going to have someone stopping by that is going to get us ready for the baseball postseason and might just bring something a little bit different to the show today as well. You'll have to trust me on that. But first, we've got some sports news that has come out this week. And you know, one of the biggest stories over the past week has to be the Los Angeles Clippers announcing a mutual departure by head coach Doc Rivers, which interpreted means the Clippers told Doc, okay, so how about you go with that when we say mutual departure and we'll buy your contract out, or we can fire you, pay you the money, and explain how Vinny Del Negro actually did more winning for this franchise than you ever did. Doc did have 2 years left on his contract. Now, the Clippers went 49-23 in the regular season this past year. They had the fourth best record in franchise history, but they gave up that 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference semifinals against the Denver Nuggets. And here's where it's a little bit worse. They gave up leads in that series of 16, 19, and 12 points as their franchise's Western Conference final drought now reaches 50 years. So here's the question. What do the Los Angeles Clippers do now? I mean, I think they throw out a few lines and kind of see who's interested in the job. And then I think they probably just slide assistant coach Tyronn Lue one seat over. He's already on staff. Move him one seat over. He has experience. Give the job to him. But I'm telling you right now, that's not what I'd do. If it was me, I'd go get Mike D'Antoni and I'd say, here's what I want. I want your 7 seconds or less offense, and I want to make this LA Showtime. Hey, the Lakers aren't playing Showtime basketball. The Lakers are playing walk it up and ISO ball. Let's go score 130 points a night. We'll be fun to watch if nothing else. Players will probably want to come here if nothing else. Hey, we all know the Clippers are Los Angeles's redheaded stepchild. Well, if you're gonna have that ugly kid, you might want to dress him up and at least make them smell good, because right now, no one cares about the Clippers. But if you injected some excitement with the Clippers, maybe they'd start to. Staying in the NBA, the 2020 NBA Finals are now set because those Los Angeles Lakers got past the Denver Nuggets in 5 games to represent the Western Conference. And the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics in 6 games over in the East. So now we get the Lakers and LeBron James going against his former team, the Miami Heat. You know, Heat president Pat Riley is going to want to beat his former team. Remember, there were some hurt feelings on both sides when LeBron James left Miami. Remember that letter Pat Riley sent to LeBron? There were some hurt feelings there. Now, game one is tonight, but here's the big question. How is this series going to go? Well, there are a few things you should watch for if you are, in fact, actually watching, you know, the NBA at all. So, like, all three of you out there watching it?
Man, that's just mean.
Here's what you want to watch for. The first thing I want to watch for is who can score points in the paint. This might be one of the most important things to watch, because the Lakers beat the Nuggets in 4 relatively close games in the Western Conference Finals, primarily because they outscored them in the paint. If LeBron and Anthony Davis are getting to the basket, you have problems, because then they can kick it outside to shooters, and that's all just bonus points. The stuff in the paint, that's actually where they're making their living, though. But against the Nuggets, it wasn't just LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mean, you had Rajon Rondo, you had Kyle Kuzma, you had Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, Dwight Howard. They were all getting to the hoop whenever they wanted to. If that happens against Miami, the Heat are going to be in some trouble. Now, Miami will try to make it tough for the Lakers to get to the basket, because they'll go to that 2-3 zone and they'll try to force the Lakers to shoot from outside. That hasn't always been the Lakers' strength. Another thing I want to watch, who is going to control the boards? I would think that the Lakers would have a decided rebounding advantage with Anthony Davis, with Dwight Howard, with LeBron James, but for some reason, Anthony Davis doesn't really seem to be rebounding all that much. I mean, in the first three games against the Nuggets, Davis had 5, 5, and 2 rebounds. You're a big man. You can't go get 2 more rebounds than I got sitting at home on my couch? Not sure what that was about, but you might want to pick that up a little bit. Now, I do expect the Lakers to roll in this series. They're the big dog. They've been the best team all year. I'm going to say Lakers in 5, but here's one thing I want you to watch. The Heat were dominated statistically by the Boston Celtics over in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you know what? It didn't matter. The Heat are highly efficient. Here's one more thing to watch, and there are no stats involved in this. Watch the Heat move on offense. They don't stop moving. And they don't have many wasted possessions. They take care of the basketball and they get good shots. Can the Heat run the Lakers out of gas and then win some games late? I'm taking the Lakers in 5. But I mean, the Heat won't make us think back to the Detroit Pistons of like 2004. Will they? Let's move over to the NFL. We are now 3 games in and we are already seeing some trends in the National Football League. Of course, we know there's a million injuries. We kind of knew that was coming. But here's another trend we're seeing. We're not seeing many penalties called. And I don't think it's a coincidence. The NFL knows full well, hey, we're losing money at the gate in attendance. We know there's a lot of people that don't want to watch the NFL because of the political stuff. We don't want people screaming about the officials too. We don't want our officials calling some holding on the backside of the play that didn't affect the play whatsoever. So right now, NFL refs are swallowing their whistles for the most part. We'll see a bad call here or there, but for the most part, they're not calling that many penalties and it's making for a much better product. I want the players deciding the games. I've never bought a ticket or turned on the TV to say, hey, you know, I was really wondering how that ref was doing. Right now, the NFL is limiting the ref's involvement in these games, and that's a very, very good thing. A few more trends we've noticed. Through the first 3 weeks of the season, the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, they look good. They're 3-0. They're scoring 30 points a game. They're allowing 20 points per game, so they're winning by an average of double digits. But here's the thing. The Chiefs aren't even clicking yet. On Monday night, they beat the Baltimore Ravens 34-20. And again, they looked okay. They looked really good at times. At times, they kind of looked like they were kind of sleepwalking. The defense might have looked better than the offense at times because they held Ravens quarterback and reigning league MVP Lamar Jackson to just 97 yards. I mean, that's not bad for a running back, but it's not great for a quarterback when the Baltimore Ravens are talking about going out and winning a Super Bowl. Here's the thing. What happens if the Kansas City Chiefs actually start playing well? They're not even playing that great right now. Kansas City Chiefs are a scary, scary team. Another trend that we are noticing in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks are winning games, and it's primarily because of quarterback Russell Wilson. Right now, Russell Wilson is your MVP because the Seahawks are 3-0, and Wilson has already thrown 14 touchdown passes. You know, Russ might throw the most accurate deep ball I have ever seen, ever in the history of the league. He is so accurate throwing that long pass. He is averaging 9 yards per pass, and he doesn't really have that much help around him. I mean, the Seahawks are down to what, their 4th running back or something? Russell Wilson has been amazing. Another trend that we're seeing, if Russell Wilson isn't the MVP, it's probably going to Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Because the Packers are scoring points at a record rate. And Rodgers, it looks like he's on a mission to prove the Packers front office was dead wrong when they wasted a draft pick on quarterback Jordan Love. The Packers are right now scoring 41 points per game. And Rodgers has already thrown 9 touchdowns. Hey, we have seen Green Bay get out of the gate pretty quick before, but this actually looks a little bit better. Couple other trends that we've noticed. We thought the NFC East would be bad. But did anyone think it would be this bad? I mean, currently, every single team has a negative point differential in that division. The Washington football team is tied for first place in the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. They each have a, wait for it, 1-2 record. The Eagles are next with an 0-2-1 record. After they tied the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. Now, the New York Giants are in dead last at 0-3. But let's go back to the Eagles. because head coach Doug Peterson is taking some serious heat around the country and especially in Philadelphia for punting the ball around midfield when the Eagles were in overtime and there was only like 18 seconds left to play, which basically ensured a tie. You could have gone for it on fourth down, maybe got it, maybe didn't. He decided to punt. We know it's going to be a tie. That'll be it. Go for the first down. Doug Peterson, what in the world are you doing? Go for the win. Hey, I get it. But I also look at this division and I say, wait a second. A tie for the Eagles is basically a win in that mess. I mean, just keep tying, Doug. Two or three more ties, you're going to be in first place, bro. No shame in a tie, not in the horrible NFC East. Finally, staying with NFL trends that we're kind of learning over these first 3 weeks, the Mitchell Trubisky experiment seems to be over in Chicago because he was once again horrible on Sunday and the Bears benched him. Now, we predicted this moment would be coming back in week one when the Detroit Lions let Trubisky off the hook. He had looked horrible all game. All of a sudden, he got hot in the fourth quarter and Trubisky was okay again. The Bears took him back. Well, this past Sunday, Trubisky went 13 of 22. He had 128 yards. He had a touchdown and an interception, and the Bears were losing to those lowly Atlanta Falcons. They finally had enough. They dumped Trubisky to the bench. They brought on veteran Nick Foles, who, of course, came on and threw three touchdowns and won the game for the Bears. Now, before Bears fans start getting their Super Bowl tickets, hey, we're 3-0, and now Nick Foles is playing. Who knows what we could do? Well, I do. I can tell you what you'll do. Remember this. Nick Foles is a career 500 quarterback. He had one great season in Philly. That was it. But understand this. This is his ninth year in the league as a starter. He's 26 and 22. And he'll probably do the same thing this year. It's who he is. Meanwhile, if you're the Chicago Bears, what do you do with Mitch Trubisky? I mean, remember, he was a second overall pick of that 2017 NFL draft. He was taken in front of guys named Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But he's just been so erratic. He's been so inaccurate. He's a big, strong guy, but it looks like he could be done in Chicago. I think they may just end up cutting Mitch Trubisky. Wait a second. Hold on. Oh, no. Chicago, you can't cut Mitch Trubisky. No. You cannot cut Mitch Trubisky. I want you to think about this. Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky? John Elway and the Denver Broncos are going to sign him in a hot second if you cut him. It's science. Chicago, don't do it. I'm begging you. Do not cut Mitch Trubisky.
Don't do it for my sake.
God knows I don't ask you for much.
Finishing up in college football, the first real weekend of college football was absolutely wild. I mean, the SEC got rolling, the ACC and Big 12 were already going, and we had some fireworks already. First up, the number 3 Oklahoma Sooners lost to Kansas State again. Just like last year when the Wildcats upset the Sooners 48-41 in Manhattan. In that game, Oklahoma outgained the Wildcats 517 yards to 400, but they had 4 turnovers to 0 for Kansas State. So this past Saturday, they were going to get their revenge on the Wildcats at home. Oklahoma freshman Spencer Rattler, he passed for 387 yards and 4 touchdowns. There was just one problem. He also threw 3 interceptions. Now, this is Oklahoma's 6th loss as a 20-plus point favorite since the end of the 2009 season. That's really weird. No other team has lost more than 3 in that span. And remember this, this isn't some great Kansas State team. I mean, Jonathan Beasley wasn't playing quarterback. Michael Bishop wasn't under center. Kansas State had just lost to Arkansas State in their opener. What is going on with the Oklahoma Sooners? Something's funky there. And it's not just Oklahoma. The Big 12 in general is off to a slow start. Texas had to rally to beat Texas Tech in overtime. So the top 2 teams in the Big 12, at least, who we all thought going into the season, neither one of them looking all that strong. Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina. Iowa State has already lost to Louisiana. Not Louisiana State, Louisiana. It's just kind of a weird season so far in the Big 12. The Big 12 just might open that door for a Group of Five team to play their way into the college football playoff. Be careful, Big 12. You guys are tripping up way too much already. Moving over to the SEC, the LSU Tigers had everything go their way last year, but that was then, and this is now. Because on Saturday, number six, LSU lost to Mike Leach and Mississippi State, 44-34. Miss State quarterback KJ Costello threw for 623 yards and five touchdowns against Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers. Hey, LSU is the first national champion to lose their opening game since the Michigan Wolverines did it back in 1998. And after the game, needless to say, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron was very, very upset.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Hey, this might be a wild year in college football. We just don't know exactly who is who. We're not quite sure. And we don't know which teams might just come in flat because they're kids. We don't know which teams could be affected by some sort of a virus situation. It's going to be a weird, weird season in college football. But here's the thing. It's going to be really, really fun to watch every single week. Okay, coming back. Like I said, the Major League Baseball postseason is now underway. When we come back, we are going to be joined by a junior member of the Daily Dose I-Team. And this is a guy who loves Major League Baseball. Good thing, because you know, I don't really care that much about it. Fortunately, he's going to have me covered. He is going to take us through and let us know what to expect in the postseason, who is going to be coming out, maybe let us know a few dark horses, and even give us his picks for the 2020 World Series. We've got a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. Okay, so we've got something completely different for you this week on the Dose. Because right now, we have a young guy that has kind of become a junior member of the Daily Dose I-Team, and we wanted to bring him in this week because here's the deal, folks. The Major League Baseball playoffs started last night, and they're going to be rolling for the next few weeks, and our junior I-Team member, well, fortunately, he's a big baseball fan. And you know, it's not just that he's a big baseball fan or just a big sports fan, because there's actually a lot more to it than that. You're going to see what I mean here in a minute. Let's bring in our guest today. Young Jimmy, welcome to the Daily Dose. We are happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Jimmy, first off, I've got to ask a question. Got to get a few things out there. We got to kind of paint a picture for the listeners out there. So first off, how old are you?
I'm 18 years old.
18 years old. This is a young, young guy. So then you just got out of high school. Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school, Lone Star High School in Frisco, Texas.
Frisco, Texas, that is near Dallas. What's the closest biggest city to you?
Definitely Dallas.
Dallas is right there. You had some pretty decent players have gone to Lone Star, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Marvin Mims, Oklahoma.
Yeah, wide receiver.
Nick Bolton from Mizzou went to Lone Star High School. Had Jason Shelley went to Utah State. He was a quarterback at Utah also. Jalen Nixon at Utah went to Lone Star High School.
Got some studs down there in Texas. And we know everything's bigger in Texas, but I mean, Texas, you know how they do their sports down in Texas. It's a little bit different. Jimmy, did you play sports down there at Lone Star?
Yeah, I played baseball.
What position did you play?
I was in the outfield, center field, center and left mostly.
What did you like to play? What would you prefer if it was your choice?
Center field was definitely the better position.
Why?
Just more range. He gets more control in the outfield.
Okay. And batter, where were you sitting in the lineup as far as batting?
I was sitting mid to low. I mean, I wasn't great with the bat. I could handle it myself, but you know, I got on base every once in a while.
Okay, so you were in high school. You were in the class of 2020, correct?
Yes.
I got to ask you this. How did high school for you end?
Not on a good note. We were coming out of the baseball game. We just finished beating Frisco High School. I was feeling good. I finally hitting the ball. I was going through a little bit of a slump. And we came out and they said, hey, we're not in school anymore. We're taking 2 weeks break. And we're like, okay, just an extra spring break because that's where it was.
Right.
And then, so you know, we're waiting a little longer. Coach is like, all right, just be ready. Work out on your own.
Sure.
So we're getting ready. We're working out. Wait a little longer. And every day it was going away. Like the dream of going back to high school.
Yeah.
Was just fading away.
So then sports are just over. Sports just end.
Yep.
You don't get a finish. You don't get a...
Nope.
Did you play any games? Had you gotten games in?
we'd gotten our most of our tournament season in. We got one district game in, and then we finished our second district game, and that's when everything.
And that's when it shut down. Yeah, so what did you do as far as like graduation? Did you have like a regular graduation?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we had a regular graduation. We had our graduation at the MLS Stadium, the FC Dallas. That's where they play in Frisco, Texas. So okay. We went up there. It was all socially distanced until the end when everybody got together for pictures and all that. But for the most part, it was mostly a normal graduation.
Wow. Okay. So your senior season just gets shut off, yep. Just gets cut in half, and you're done. Graduation, you kind of have to piece that together. Now you're past high school. Now you're going to college. Here's the question. Where are you going to college?
I'm going to college at the University of Colorado. Sco Buffs.
Going to the University of Colorado. You're in Boulder then.
Pac-12, baby.
Pac-12. Here we go. Here's a question for you. What other colleges were you considering? Did you have others on your list? I'm assuming you did.
Yeah, it was Macy, Mizzou or Colorado. Mizzou okay. had a good journalism program, but I decided to come to Colorado. I just got more family up here. Closer to the Daily Dose podcast, of
sure,
course.
Sure. That's always important. How is life right now in Boulder? You're on campus. We are hearing things up at Boulder. We're hearing about, you know, outbreaks and this kind of thing, but how is life truly happening in Boulder right now?
Really, classes are all online at this point, but really nothing's stopping us from like hanging out with anybody. They're okay. saying don't, but we don't as much as we wish we could. Like we couldn't go out and have a good time at somebody's dorm. We couldn't like go to the hill as much as we'd like to, just because we want to be smart and stuff and not like spread the coronavirus or whatever.
Right. So you're in Boulder. You've got to kind of be careful about who you're hanging out with. They're kind of keeping an eye on where you're going and what you're doing and that kind of thing. Do you feel being in Boulder that you could be converted to a dirty hippie at any point in your college career? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think you can stay on the straight and narrow while you're up there?
You know what? I firmly believe I will never be no hippie. Coming from Texas, my values are strong.
Okay.
And there's no way I'm turning.
Wow. You're gonna keep it real up at Boulder.
Keeping it real.
Okay, so here's the next question. What are you studying up there?
I'm journalism. Studying journalism.
All right. Going to go into journalism.
Yes, sir.
Well, here's the question. What would you see in journalism as your ideal career for where you're going? Do you have something in mind? Is there something specific that you're saying, that's kind of the direction I want to go in? Or are you just kind of, I'm going to go into journalism and just kind of see where it takes me?
Honestly, sports in the sports field is generally obviously the goal.
Yeah, so
the
you want to go into sports of some kind. Okay.
Obviously, that's a tough field.
Sure. But you want to go, like writing sports? You want to go broadcasting sports? What kind of direction would you be thinking? Or like, is there like an ideal career you think of?
Right now, honestly, I'm not exactly sure what I want to do, but sure. I want to be versatile with my writing and broadcasting. And I think that's a big part of it right now, because everybody, like social media and everything's opening up journalism so much.
For sure.
That you kind of have to know how to do everything if you want to succeed.
Yes, you do.
So that's where I feel like I need to like expand and be good at my writing and my broadcasting.
I would agree with that. And I think that that's a good idea, because the more you can do, the more jobs you can get.
Yeah.
And if you're going out and you're looking for that job and they say, well, can you do this? And you go, yeah, that isn't anything that I really focused on. That might hurt you a little bit. Here's the big question I have for you going into sports journalism specifically. Are you prepared to be broke? Because I just want to, help you out.
Yeah, you know what?
Are you ready to be without a job? And like, I worked this week. I did 60 hours a week. No, I made like $8. If long as you're okay with that.
Yeah, you
be
know
prepared
what?
For that.
That's definitely crossed my mind a few times.
Sure.
I can try to spin journalism as much as I can, you know, into as many different ways as possible, you know. But yeah, I'm definitely open to doing that. I'm gonna figure life out. It'll happen.
As long as you go in and you work hard and you deal with people well, you'll find work. I'm just giving a hard time. But here's the thing. You did play baseball. You're a huge baseball fan. Let's get this out of the way, Jimmy. What team do you cheer for when you're just watching baseball on your own? This isn't work-related. This doesn't have anything to do with journalism. What team are you watching? Who is your team?
Unfortunately, I am a Colorado Rockies fan since day one.
Ouch.
Tough Colorado Rockies and Rangers fans, so that's just I like pain,
right? And you're going to see you,
yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You enjoy pain,
mm-hmm.
Ladies. If you'd like to beat up on a man, here's a guy who likes it. So you are, you know, the Major League Baseball guy, like you watch baseball. You and I have spoken, we've texted back and forth a few times. You love baseball. Which is great for me, because I don't particularly care. But you know what? Come playoffs, I'll watch baseball. Hey, the Major League Baseball season has been a sprint this year. just 60 games in the regular season, but that's not it. MLB also expanded their playoff format from 10 teams to 16 teams. The top four seeds in each league are now hosting a best of three wild card series in their regular season home ballpark. So no bubble right now for baseball. The American League began last night. The National League gets started tonight. We will then have a division series. All teams are going to shift to neutral site locations located in Southern California and Texas for the rest of the postseason after these wild card games. All games in the AL Division Series will be played in San Diego and in Los Angeles, while the NL Division Series will be down in Arlington, in your old stomping grounds, or at least nearby, and in Houston. And then San Diego will host the AL Championship, with Arlington hosting the NL Championship, and the World Series will be played in Arlington, Texas. Now, this postseason, honestly, it's going to be wild. We have a chance for major upsets. Teams that are ordinarily not getting in, they are getting in this year. Who knows how that's all going to play out? I mean, this season has already had some surprises, for sure. And I'll bet there are going to be more. So let's jump into these baseball playoffs that are now rolling. And I want to ask you this. If we start looking at the teams in the postseason that you like, and we start off in the American League, going into the season, all the talk and all the expectations in the American League were primarily on the mighty New York Yankees. They have a roster that is absolutely stacked. They've gotten going kind of recently, but the Yankees are not the top seed in the AL. And I want to get an idea. Who do you like over in that American League? Are there a few teams that stand out to you that are like, no, they're the real deal. They could absolutely be a contender. Who do you like in the American League to start off?
Definitely the Rays. Rays, big time, over the Yankees.
Yeah.
They beat them throughout the regular season.
Yep.
And their pitching rotation is just disgusting. All their pitching is disgusting. Their bullpen's disgusting. Their starters are disgusting. It's just like, they make baseballs move in ways baseballs shouldn't be able to move.
Yeah.
They like break laws of physics. I worry about their bats a little bit sometimes. They don't really stand out in any statistical category batting wise. They do steal a lot of bases though. They're fourth in the league in bases, but their pitching is definitely their strong suit, which is coming up big in the playoffs. Pitching's always going to beat hitting in the playoffs.
Yep. Every time. I know people, and we have even talked about this, people fall in love with bats. People fall in love with the big scoring. That's all fine and good. But in the postseason, the great pitchers pitch again and again and again. You're not going to see guys that are down in the lineup. You're going to see the top guys every single night, and they're going to shut you down. Mm-hmm. All those runs you were manufacturing, they were cute, but they're not going to last. You like the Tampa Bay Rays. I am in agreement with you there, because Tampa Bay, that pitching lineup is nasty. So bizarre too, because they're not spending any money.
I know. Small market teams are representing this year.
Yeah, they're playing really well. Who else do you like besides Tampa Bay?
The Indians.
Like Cleveland.
Big fan of the Indians.
Okay.
I was listening to a game the other day. First of all, if you're going to listen to an Indians game, you got to do it on the radio and listen to Tom Hamilton. He makes every play sound like the very best. It makes it sound like the Game 7 of the World Series.
The pitch swung on, hit high and deep to right. Saunders, track, wall, leaps, and score!
But they're coming in really hot. They just swept the White Sox not too long ago, who was their rival in their same division. The AL Central had the biggest facelift this year, easily. Last year, they had like one playoff team. This year, they have three. Easy. Jose Ramirez has been putting up MVP numbers. He's been big time in the MVP race. Lindor traditionally is great in the playoffs.
Right.
They're third in the league with strikeouts per nine. They got the three-headed monster in Bieber, Plesac, and Carrasco. Brad Hand's one of the best relievers in the game. They don't allow many hits. They're fourth in the league in hits per nine. They don't walk many people, really, which is just very vital in the playoffs.
Sure.
You're giving up walks, you're giving up free runs.
Absolutely. And again, we're going back to the same thing. Going to probably notice a trend today in what Jimmy's talking about, because you're going to lean on your pitching in the postseason, and Cleveland's another team that does it really, really well. I mean, you look at that Cleveland lineup, and I know that they're not maybe what they used to be, but when you're only giving up, I mean, less than 200 runs for the season, I mean, no, Cleveland is getting it done on the mound as well. Who else do you like? Anybody else in the American League, or are those the top two teams that you really like?
Those are my top two teams, but I think we need to watch out for the White Sox as well. They're young, but they have been putting up good numbers. Keuchel has had a Cy Young year. He's been insane. And especially in these playoffs when everybody's hitting home runs, his fly ball to home run percentage is just 4.7. He's keeping home runs per nine to just 0.3. He's keeping the ball on the ground. He's got a 1.99 ERA. Giolito had his no-hitter earlier in the year. Dylan Cease is their third starter. He can eat innings. Tim Anderson's a hitting machine. He's been in a little bit of a slump right now, but he's definitely up there competing for that batting average title.
Yep.
Alex Comey has been shut down this year out of the bullpen. Jose Abreu's been great. They do struggle with walks and they struggle with striking out. They're a young team, but they're going to be good in these next few years.
So here's what's interesting to me. Jimmy, you've named three teams so far in the AL. You've named the Rays. You like the Indians. You like the White Sox. You haven't named the Yankees. You haven't named the Oakland A's, even the Minnesota Twins, who, you know, are right on the top of there in Central. You haven't named yet. Are those teams that you're still want to take a look at? Are those teams that you're going, I don't know about those teams?
To be honest, I definitely like the Yankees. I definitely think they're going to go deep. They're just the Yankees.
Yeah.
They got a great team and stuff. I worry about them being streaky. Now, the Twins, I actually really like the Twins, but I just know at some point they're going to have to play the Yankees.
Sure.
And since 2004, the Yankees have beat them.
They've owned them every single time. No, you're right. You're right. Speaking of that, so is there a team in the American League that you're looking at and saying, hey, they better be real careful? I know that they're in and people might even like them, but is there a team out there in the American League that you're going, they could trip up? They are primed for an upset? Or is everyone over there capable of winning it?
I think everyone over there is capable of winning. Even the A's. I'm not even a big fan of the A's, really. They don't have Matt Chapman. Their hitting doesn't really stand out to me. Neither is their pitching. But still, they can definitely beat somebody. They just find ways to win games. They play that money ball. You know how it is.
Sure.
They live in the middle of the pack, but somehow they keep finding ways to like win games.
Okay, let's move over to the National League. The Los Angeles Dodgers were hailed as the top team going into the season. Hey, that roster is absolutely an all-star team level. They are stacked everywhere. They should be the big dog. They might be the big dog, but we know of their struggles in the postseason every year since like the 80s. So Jimmy, who do you like over in the National League in these playoffs right now?
I don't think enough people are talking about the Braves.
Like Freddie Atlanta. Freeman,
okay. Freddie Freeman is putting up MVP numbers right now. Acuña Jr. is doing as great as ever. Dansby Swanson, their shortstop, finally playing up to his potential. We've been hearing about Dansby Swanson for years now, coming out of Vanderbilt and how good he's going to be, and he's always kind of disappointed.
Sure.
This year, he's finally putting up the hitting numbers at the plate. He's always been good defensively. Adam Duvall's having a resurgence right now. He's hit 16 home runs on the year. Now, listen to this. Okay. So I did some digging on the leaderboards over the years.
Okay.
Over the season.
Yeah.
The Braves are first in runs per game, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, extra base hits, RBIs per game, second in home runs per game, and second in batting average. These guys can hit.
They can hit
well.
Yes, they can.
Mark Melancon and Tyler Matzek are solid out of the bullpen. Tyler Matzek, a old Rocky. He didn't pan out with the Rockies, though, but what else is new?
We don't want to bring up old Rockies.
Well, I'm afraid...
We're talking about DJ LeMahieu.
Let's not
talk
about the Yankees, then.
Because that's just going to make all of us feel bad right now.
The East Coast Rockies.
Yeah, I know. They're just rolling, and he's playing out of his mind right now. No, the Braves can definitely generate runs. That's a team that can go out, and they can score. Who else do you like in the National League?
Dodgers, obviously.
Sure.
Obviously.
They're just so loaded.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, honestly. I mean, if they're going to do it, this is the year for sure.
They're stacked.
I think if anyone's going to beat them, it's going to be the Braves. But I don't think we should rule out the St. Louis Cardinals.
Like the Cards.
I do like the Cards. Paul Goldschmidt's been hitting well, and he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, but the ones he does, he's definitely gone off. He's hitting .290 in the playoffs, slugging .609 with six home runs. Pitching's been solid for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright somehow is doing it at 80 years old.
Right,
he's
right.
had a solid year. Molina's been doing it at the plate, solid. I think they have a lot of good, strong bats, not necessarily big boppers, but just guys who can hit like .250, .260,
sure.
who can, if they can get hot, can definitely lead a team to the playoffs. I like this team because of their veterans. All of these guys have a lot of playoff experience. These guys know how to win games in the playoffs. They know how to win championships. They've done it before. I think if Matt Carpenter can get hot, and if just two or three hitters get hot, I think they can shut it down. They have some strong arms in the bullpen, Alex Reyes, and that I think that they can definitely make some noise if they can get their bats hot.
Okay, so we're looking Braves. You like the Dodgers, obviously, because they're just loaded. You like the Cardinals as well. We talked about this over on the American side. Is there a team you could see tripping up? Is there a team that you could see maybe falling short? I know the first one that comes to mind is the Dodgers because we've seen them, but is there someone that you have in mind that you're looking in the National League?
I'm thinking the Cubs.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of the Cubs. I think they've been like way overhyped this year. Javier Baez, he's hitting just over .200. He's not having the year the ESPN wants you to believe he has.
I was going to say, you would not know that by watching the ESPN highlights because they are going to accentuate what he does do positively.
I think the positives for them, their pitching, their starting pitching's been pretty good. Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendrick. Yu Darvish is hitting 98 miles per hour on the gun now. I don't know where that came from because I remember him sucking. He never did that in Texas.
I have a guess where it came from. But but they test for those things. So I know they couldn't possibly, be doing those things because they test for those things.
Yeah, I see the only way for the Cubs making it out is hitting comes together. And that's honestly, I don't think the Padres have it either, pitching wise. I think they're a very fun team to watch, but I think they're a very young team to watch as well.
Sure.
They're definitely going to be good in a few years, but I just don't know if they have it right now. They have an okay bullpen, but I don't know if their starting pitching can get them there.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just getting started here because we've got a number of more things to get to with Jimmy. Here's the thing. Coming back, we're going to get to young Jimmy's thoughts on whether there are any under the radar teams out there in the MLB playoffs that maybe we haven't even talked about yet. A couple teams that, you know, could be like a dark horse. I don't know. If you were like maybe making some bets, you were laying some money, maybe there's a couple teams out there that could surprise us. Plus, we are going to help young Jimmy in his future career as a sports journalist by doing something here on the Dose we have never done before. Yes, folks, when we get back, we are going to let young Jimmy ask us some questions today. We still have a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. Okay, so let's continue our conversation with University of Colorado sports journalism major. Young Jimmy has joined us and he is giving us a Major League Baseball postseason preview. And I want to know about some teams that might be out there in MLB this year. Might be a good bet, might be kind of a sneaky bet. Are there any teams out there that you could see on either side, American League, National League, might be under people's radar? They might not know about it, but they could be sneaky enough to sneak in and win some games.
Yeah, this was my dark horse pick coming into the year. They kind of underperformed, but the Cincinnati Reds, I really believe have it. I really think they can get it.
Trevor Bauer is as dark a dark horse as you can get, because I don't know if anyone even thought Cincinnati was going to be making this postseason, and you were picking them prior to the season?
I did. They signed some big names, Nick Castellanos, Mike Moustakas. They went and got him, Trevor Bauer. And Trevor Bauer has been as the best he could ever be. He has a 1.79 ERA. He's got 100 Ks on the year so far. He's definitely the NL Cy Young winner. They got a three-headed monster too. Bauer, Luis Castellano, who I think is just going to be dominant these next few years. He had a great year last year. I really look forward to his career. Sonny Gray has had a great year for them too. And their bullpen is very strong. Archie Bradley, Amir Garrett, Lucas Sims, and they went out and signed Pedro Strop at the deadline. Insane. Now, their bats are cold right now. If they can get those bats hot, they are in a very good position, I think. They walk a lot. If they can get the bats warm. Nick Castellanos was absolutely mashing the ball coming into the year. And I think if he can even kind of get back to that form, they'll be very nice in the playoffs. The only thing I don't like about them, they don't have a lot of playoff experience. They're kind of a young team.
Sure.
If they can just keep those nerves together, I think they'll be good.
Cincinnati Reds. Nobody's out there picking the Cincinnati Reds. You are all over the Cincinnati Reds. You like the way that team's going. Who else do you got as a dark horse out there that maybe people are sleeping on?
I don't think this team will win at all. I don't.
Okay.
But we need to keep an eye on the Miami Marlins.
Okay.
Not because...
That's another bold pick I'm
going
to give
now,
you.
Now, I don't think they'll be going anywhere necessarily. But if history repeats itself, they will be winning the World Series.
They have never done it before.
They have never lost a playoff series coming into this year. Now, they don't have star power.
Right.
They're a small market team, very middle of the road. They don't really excel in any particular thing, but they do have three young starters who are going to be great in the next few years. Sixto Sanchez, Pablo Lopez, and Sandy Alcantara. All those guys have had ERAs around 3 all year. And Brian Anderson, Jesus Aguilar, and Miguel Rojas are powering this team to the playoffs. These guys, they're not necessarily hitting home runs, but they're getting on base. They're getting people over. They're stealing bases. Hitters are hot. If hitters can get hot, then they'll be all right. Pat Vendetti, the two-handed pitcher, the ambidextrous pitcher.
Yeah.
They have him. He's not necessarily good, but he's fun to watch.
At least you'll be entertained.
Yeah, you'll be entertained. And that's all you can ask for in baseball, can you?
Well, I would agree with that. That might be actually keep me awake during a baseball game if a guy is going out there and switching hands every other pitch.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the Miami Marlins as a dark horse. Hey, you've picked – a lot of times people will say, I'm going to pick a dark horse. I'm going to take the Yankees because I don't know if you've noticed, but they've dropped down to like the 4 seed. No, you're taking dark horses. You actually took a team that has a negative run differential in the Miami Marlins, but you've got faith. And primarily, it sounds like you've got faith because of their pitching lineup.
Yeah, I think they have a young squad, so I don't know if they'll exactly crack under the pressure or not, but if they can just keep everything together.
You know what, though? In a season where you don't have fans, are they feeling as much pressure? Maybe they're just young and dumb enough to go out, and who cares? We can just go play.
Yeah, you're right. That could very possibly happen.
We're going to have a weird postseason without fans. Yeah. You're not going to have everybody screaming at the batter.
You're not going to have towels.
No, it's going to be different. You're not going to have anybody banging on a trash can. No. We don't think.
Well,
let's wait and see on that.
Let's hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope that that doesn't happen. All right, who else you got as a sleeper? Anybody else? Or those are your two sleepers that you really like?
Those are my two sleepers that I really like.
Okay, staying in the National League on your sleepers. All right, Jimmy, it is time to get serious. Here's the thing. I need your picks for the 2020 Major League Baseball World Series. Not only who's going. I want who's going. But I also want to know who is winning it. Hey, we're just getting into October. It's not quite October yet. I need to know who is going to this World Series when it's all said and done. Who do you like?
I like Indians versus the Dodgers.
Indians
versus the Dodgers. I really am on board the Indians train right now. I got Dodgers in six.
Okay. Okay, you're going Dodgers in six. Dodgers finally get it done. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to go easy. I'm going to go with the favorites. I'll take the Rays pitching staff, and I'll take them against the Dodgers as well. I'll take LA also to finally get a World Series win. But hey, there is pressure there. Oh, not really that you're going to see it in the stadium, but there is pressure. They know the big dogs.
Yeah.
That hasn't always done so well for the Dodgers in the past. That roster is just so stacked.
I don't understand. If they don't make it this year, I don't understand how they can keep going.
Right.
And they have the money for it. They can go out and buy whoever they
want. Sure. And they have.
Yep.
No, they're absolutely loaded. All right. Now, here's the thing about Jimmy, though. Jimmy is not just a baseball guy. He loves baseball. You can tell he's passionate about baseball, played baseball, follows baseball very, very closely. He's going to drill down on some teams that you're probably sitting there going, I can't believe he picked that team. But he actually knows the sport. Here's the thing, though. We talked about before. Being versatile, being able to, you know, go into some other areas. I'm going to ask you this. Got the NFL going now. Got college football going now. In the NFL right now, if you had to kind of guess, who are the big dogs that you're liking in the National Football League right now?
Obviously, Chiefs.
Yeah, Kansas City's really good, aren't they?
Patriots look good. I think Cam Newton looks really good right now.
Yeah, I want to see how long he can keep up what he's doing running the football as much as he is. We know that it doesn't always work that well for quarterbacks. I want to see if he can stay doing that. Yeah, Chiefs, Patriots, anybody else that's standing out to you?
Tampa Bay's been interesting. I haven't been able to really get a beat on them.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, too, because they haven't played real tough teams, and that's going to be a little bit different. We saw what they did against New Orleans, and I don't know how much I believe New Orleans, but they didn't look so good there. It's hard to know what Brady has left. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a lot, but I think he's smart enough to be able to generate things. The guy, and you and I talked about this before, Rob Gronkowski looks like he doesn't even want to be out there.
Yeah, I don't think he got a single fantasy point last week.
He looks horrible. He looks like he's scared to get hurt. He doesn't want to go up and get the ball. He kind of is trying to disappear, and maybe he's holding off. He's trying to wait till the postseason, and then he's really going to shine. Or maybe he doesn't really want to be there, and he kind of got roped into going because Tom said he was going. I don't know. We'll see if their defense can hold up. We'll see if that offensive line can hold up too, because if they're not good, Brady is gonna struggle at some stretch here. Any other teams that you like in the NFL right now?
It's tough to pick up on teams.
I know. It's really hard.
There's a lot of bad teams.
There's a ton of bad teams.
And that's my problem. That's what's tough with the NFL right now. There's a lot of teams that aren't very good.
Yep.
And especially quarterback-wise, there's so many bad quarterbacks out there.
Oh, there's a ton. You can go down the list. If you've got a good quarterback and you've got even a decent offensive line, you're probably in the hunt.
Yeah.
If you don't have either one of those, you're struggling. There's just no way around it. You have to have one, possibly both, because you can go down the list. I mean, Minnesota Vikings, that's a really, really good roster, but you don't have a decent offensive line. You have a very average quarterback, and that might be being nice to Kirk Cousins.
Maybe.
And all of a sudden, the Vikings, you're looking at them going, oh, they look terrible. You've got the Green Bay Packers. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is surrounded with that much talent.
I don't think he is.
He's just amazing.
Yeah.
And he goes out and he finds ways to win. I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm.
And same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going, I don't know that Russell Wilson has that much help. He's just so good. He makes everyone else look that much better. NFL is going to be wild as we get into that season a little bit further, because like you said, it's so early right now. It's kind of hard to tell. You've got to have teams, you know, play a few more games. You've got to get a bigger sample size so we can really figure out what's what. Jimmy, this last weekend, though, in college football, talked about a little bit earlier on the show, but college football was wild in the first real weekend. The SEC got going. And, like, you don't know what to expect from this season because we haven't seen these guys get their little warm-up games and kind of get eased into the season. No, right now, conference games, here we go. Hey, your Pac-12 is going to come back, they it sounds like. Back, They're talking about the Mountain West getting to come back.
Yeah, I'm ready to be hurt.
Yeah, we'll see if that – we know you like punishment. We'll see how that all goes. But if you're looking at college football, any team standing out to you in college football that you're looking at and saying – the big dog. Who's
after this? After this week, it's very hard. Bama,
a little bit tough. Obviously. Yeah, Alabama's going to be good. Yeah, yeah. Clemson had the week off, so they looked better in the week off, obviously. But
Ohio State.
Yeah, I would think.
That's all you got right now. At this point, yeah. Oklahoma just went down.
Yes,
LSU's gone. Texas is showing us that maybe they're not.
Defense is definitely, and that's one of the things that really stood out to me about the weekend is just the Big 12 defenses. Still got a little bit more work to do.
Yeah.
I know every year they say, well, this year the Big 12's defense is going to be better. Well, let's go ahead and wait for next year because it doesn't look like it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be a wild season. And same thing. Expectations, crowds aren't going to be there. You can have some wild, crazy upsets that you never saw coming. There's no way Kansas State is going to go out and hang with Oklahoma. There's no way. Not only are they not going to hang, OU's going to blow them out, shut them out, say, we got revenge on last year's game. K-State goes out and they do it again,
and they were down by a lot.
Big.
Yeah. They came back.
Make the comeback. It's going to be a wild and crazy season in college football. NFL is going to be, I think the NFL might be the closest thing to like normal, I guess we're going to have, because I think we kind of know who teams are, but I think college football is going to be absolutely wild. Okay. Jimmy, you have survived the initial part of our podcast today. But now, young Jimmy, I am going to put all of the pressure on you because you're going into sports journalism. You are going to try to find a job in the world of investigating sports. So I thought, what better way to help you begin that adventure than by you getting to ask me a few questions? So right now, I am going to actually put myself on the hot seat, let young Jimmy ask me a question or two. I've got my seatbelt on. All right, Jimmy, what do you got for me? I'm ready. Bring whatever you have.
Well, Clint Daly, obviously, my sports journalism career is starting right here in the college world. Obviously, I think a nice, good question for you to start. Where did your sports journalism career start?
So my sports journalism career started very, very strange. So I took some classes. I took some radio broadcasting classes in college and that kind of thing, but I never really did anything. I started refereeing right out and I started coaching.
Yeah.
So I'm refereeing in a middle school league, and a league director sees me and says, hey, I think you'd be a coach. I've got a league where you coach a game and then you ref a game.
Oh.
So I was doing both. And then once I started coaching, I was like, oh, I got to do that. So I start coaching. I start coaching at high school level. I coach at the high school level. And while I'm coach at a few different schools in the metro area, I'm actually coaching with Coach Mack out in this area, and he leaves and he takes a job down near Colorado Springs. And I don't want to make that trip. I'm like, I don't want to drive all the way down there. That's too far. It's going to be a commute. I apply for an intern job with Bleacher Report to write. And I get it. Really? And I'm like, well, I'm waiting a year so I can go back into coaching. And so I start writing for Bleacher Report. And what they would do at the time, they would put you through basically like a trial thing where they would say, here's the subject we're going to do this week. So we're going to have you do previews for an NFL game. And then you would have an article due that Friday and they would put it up for the weekend. And as long as you kept getting through, you would keep writing. And then once you finished, if you got through all, it was like 10 weeks you had to do this. If you got through all 10 weeks, then you would be like a featured columnist.
Yeah.
So I go through all 10 weeks. I make it somehow. Bleacher Report was bizarre because it's a huge audience.
Yeah.
But there's also some weird stuff going on there. I did that, and that's how I first really got doing that. I ended up going to an NFL website after that. I ended up going to Mile High Sports Magazine, and then I ended up writing for a local magazine called Mile High Times and getting a radio job there with Mile High Times, which eventually turned into the podcast. So I didn't go to school to study that at all. Yeah. I was a history major. I went and kind of screwed around and took some broadcasting classes and learned some stuff like that. But I wasn't pursuing this at all. It just kind of happened. And in a year off where I wasn't coaching at the time, I was like, yeah, I'll try writing. Mm. And I tried writing and I did it for probably 6 or 7 years. It's hard to get paid for writing.
Yeah,
I will say that. You can eventually get paid, but it's really hard to get paid because the more they like your work, they're going to ask you for more and more work, and they're not always going to give you more and more pay.
Mm.
You find that out pretty quick. So yeah, I guess that would be how I got started. You got anything else?
Obviously, that first piece. Tell me about the pressure that you were under for writing that piece. I'm sure there's a lot you're worried about getting the job.
So get this, I'm writing, and like I said, they would give you kind of a certain direction to go in. So like 1 week, I remember they said, we're going to give you a team that is an underdog, and you've got to write an article about how they could pull off the upset.
Mm.
Well, at the time, this is probably going back to like 2009 or 10. I'm writing, the Detroit Lions are coming to Denver to face the Tim Tebow Denver Broncos.
Oh boy.
The Broncos are a huge underdog.
Oh yeah.
So my job is to write an article of how Denver could possibly pull off the upset. I write this article. Denver doesn't pull off the upset. They get killed. Mm. I don't say Denver's going to pull off the upset.
Yeah.
I say, here's how they could. Got to run the ball. Got to, you know, eat clock. Don't let Detroit's offense have it because your defense isn't good enough. So I just lay out a scenario of how you could win the game. Jimmy, I get death threats on Bleach Report. I have people writing, I can't believe you wrote this. I'm going to come find you and kill you. I see that you live in Denver or whatever. I'm going to come find your house. And I'm like, I'm telling my, like, my manager, my editor, I go, dude, I'm getting like death threats on this website. I wrote this one article. He's like, hey, that's a good thing. That means you're getting people excited. I'm like, no, it's not a good thing. I might have someone come try to shoot me. And so they viewed it as there's no such thing as bad publicity. I'm like, no, there 1,000% is. And so like the first few articles, I'm scared to death.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm going in going, is someone going to like threaten my life? Cause I said the Broncos should bench Kyle Orton. Like this is crazy. And you know, the biggest thing it showed me, and I've learned this in coaching, and this is a lesson you're going to have to learn. Let's say young Jimmy, you have a job at Chipotle. You're the burrito roller at Chipotle. Okay. And let's say that you hear through the grapevine or whatever, that across the street at Qdoba, they're paying you $2 more. Or maybe Qdoba's closer to your house. Or maybe you just like Qdoba better. So you take the job at Qdoba. Does anyone at Chipotle care? No. Maybe your manager's like, jerk. You're going to leave and now I got to find someone else. But other than that, nobody really cares. Like your coworkers are going, hey, congrats. Nice job. Here's the thing. In sports, for some reason, if I'm coaching at one school and I say, hey, this school over here is a way better fit. They're way better at, say, basketball. They're closer to my house, whatever. When you leave, and we see this in professional leagues all the time, you didn't just change jobs. You're a traitor because emotion involved in sports that we wouldn't, just like somebody threatening my life over how the Broncos could possibly beat the Lions. When sports are involved, logic goes out the window completely.
For sure.
So
for sure.
That's just kind of something you have to realize going into it. You're going to have crazy people write into you. I had somebody the year I was doing the podcast, the year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers. I had some loon write into me saying that Gary Kubiak was like in the Klan. And like there's people that are crazy out there. When it comes to sports, logic, reason, they go completely out the window. Yeah, that's one thing I would definitely pass forward to you. All right, you got anything else for the podcast here?
One last question.
I'm ready for it.
Who from the Pac-12 hurt you? We don't deserve this. We can't have anything nice. We don't need the Daily Dose podcast ripping into us like this.
Here's the thing. And I'll give you an honest answer. No one hurt me from the Pac-12 because I don't care about the Pac-12. But here's an honest answer for you. And I'm being totally, totally serious when I say this. At some point, because I am a diehard Denver Broncos fan.
Mm.
I am. I'm a diehard fan. I'll have to tell you another story. Sorry for all you listening. I'm going to have to go on a tangent again. I have to tell another story. I'm scouting a game. I'm coaching for Coach Mack. If you've listened to Daily Dose, you've heard Coach Mack on the show. I'm scouting a game. He sends me and another coach. He gets sick, so he can't go do the scout. Yeah. He's supposed to scout himself. We go scout this team. We watch this team, watch the game, write our notes down, write their plays down, write their players down, all this stuff. We go back to Coach Mack. He comes in and he says, hey, you guys got the scout ready? And I said, yes, I have the scout ready. Well, the other guy gives his scouting. He goes, here it is, coach. He goes, coach, if we do this and we do this and we do this, if we hit our free throws, if we just rebound, we can beat this team. Like, they're beatable. We can beat this team. And he's like, hey, thanks for the scouts. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. He leaves. He's like, Coach Daly, what do you got for me? I go, Coach, if we play our best game, like if we play out of our minds, we're going to lose by 20. But we're probably going to lose by 30 or 40 because they're so much better than us. They're better at half court offense. Mm-hmm. They'll fast break. Mm-hmm. They're better rebounding. We can say if we do this and if, but we know we won't. Like we're not, like I'm not lying. I'm just, he tells me, thank you. That's the difference between being a fan and truly being objective and saying, and being realistic.
Yeah.
And so when I watch the Broncos, I'm cheering for the Broncos, but I know they're not very good. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So I look at the Pac-12. Hey, I would love for me personally here at the podcast, I would love for Colorado to be really, really good. Mm. I'd give me something to talk about. Hey, did you see CU is ranked in the top five this year in college football? Unfortunately, I have to be realistic. And I can't say that they're good because they're not. Hey, the Pac-12, again, I would be glad. Prove me wrong. Go to the big bowl game. Win a big game. Go to the dance in college hoops and win. I'd be glad to say, hey, no, the Pac-12 shut me up. But they keep losing. So I can't do anything else but be objective and be realistic with the Pac-12.
Well, you can catch us in the Cottonelle toilet bowl. So.
Well, that's the problem. And you know what? I've decided that it starts at the top. I can't blame the players. Mm. It starts at the top. These presidents in the Pac-12, they're not going out and they're not paying the big money. They're not going to get in big time head coaches. You look at the SEC and people can gripe about the SEC and I totally get it. But they go out and they hire a strength and conditioning coach and they give him $1 million a year. Yeah. And you're wondering why SEC kids are bigger, stronger, faster.
Agree. They're just not willing to pay them.
Yes. Go sink the money in if you want to be big time. Otherwise, young Jimmy, the Daily Dose is going to pick on you again and again, and we're going to give you noogies, and we're going to make fun of you and put your head in the toilet in between periods because you don't give us any reason not to.
Well, you'll be getting a strongly worded email from me in approximately 2 to 5 business days.
I can't wait for it. I'll be looking forward to remind me to set that that filter on my email to spam. Jimmy, I have to say thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose, helping us get ready for the Major League Baseball playoffs and just talking sports in general. Hey, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but the playoffs are fun every single year. And I feel like this year they could be even more fun this year. But thank you so much for coming by, talking baseball with us. Best of luck studying up in Boulder. Stay healthy. Stay well. And you're going to have to come back and visit us again.
Yeah, for sure.
Come in and talk. We can come in and talk bowl season when the Pac-12 is in the Final Four.
Woo! Let's go, Buffs.
Let's go, Buffs. Thanks for coming by, Jimmy. We'd love to have you visit again.
All right.
Hey, next week on The Dose, college football and the NFL are now rolling. Next week on The Dose, we might have to take a little bit of a closer look at which teams are actually performing the best. Are we starting to figure out the teams that are actually good? Are we starting to figure out some of the teams that are actually bad? Going to be talking a lot of college football and NFL next week. Plus, we'll keep you up with the NBA. We'll keep you up with MLB. We'll keep you up with whatever is going on in the sports world. So you have to make sure that you stop by next week. Hey, have to say thank you so much to young Jimmy for stopping by and talking some baseball with us today. Make sure you stay in touch. Come back and see us again so we can check on your progress up at the University of Colorado. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our Daily Dose YouTube channel and for giving us positive ratings wherever it is that you watch or listen. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
One last question.
I'm ready for it.
Who from the Pac-12 hurt you?